I'm WSB's Clark Howard.
From Dunwoody to Douglasville.
Washington to Woodstock.
Whenever and wherever there's
severe weather, a traffic red alert, or breaking news,
the WSB 24-hour breaking news center
will break in.
Depend on it.
The Mark Arum Show is performed before a live studio audience.
No, I want this town to be near you. No gray skies ever turn blue.
Welcome to the show and a good Tuesday Eve to you. Mark Arum here, you there. This is the Mark Arum Show, heard Monday through Friday, 10 to midnight on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. It's 10:07, 7 after 10, by the way. 62 degrees on Peachtree Street. The gang is all here. Low T Chuck screens the calls. Longoria on the other side of the takeout window. And Jennifer Griffey's in the studio right now.
When sperm meets egg.
Thank you, Jennifer.
Idaho.
I can't do you, Edgar.
That look she just gave you, Longoria.
I know.
And the double bird out the door. Thanks, Jennifer.
Hadn't played those in a while.
To Jennifer's credit, she's wearing pants she knitted this morning.
Yeah.
She's Mary Ingalls.
She found around the house.
She's now. Oh, I just got the double bird. All right. Welcome to the show. I'm in an amazingly good mood. I don't know what's going on. I'm just in a great mood today. We got a lot of stuff to talk about, including this huge arson fire in Floyd County that you probably heard about during Atlanta's Evening News with Eric Erickson. I want to talk about that. But even though I'm in a great mood, I had a rough moment today. And I want to know if this is a me problem or if this is someone else's problem.
I'm sure it is.
If past experience
I'm sure it is.
It's most likely a me problem, yes.
Yeah.
All right, so, you know, I've got two dogs. I've got Bosco, 11-year-old beagle girl, and Deuce, 5-year-old mutt boy. Bosco, like 6 months ago, took her in for her shots, and the vet was like, she's got a little heart murmur. I was like, well, what do we do for that? She's like, oh, there's nothing. It's all right. It's pretty common in dogs, blah, blah, blah. Fast forward to last week, Thursday, Bosco's gets an ear infection. It's a common thing with beagles. They just get, like Longoria's freaking daughters. They just get ear infections all the time.
Daughters and beagles.
Yes. Little half-Spanish daughters and beagles get ear infections. So it happens once a year, probably around this time. It's probably a seasonal thing. I take Bosco in, they look at it, they give me the medicine, and the vet's like, let me check the heart murmur. And she's like, the vet is a woman. And she's like, it's worse now. It was a 3. Now it's a 4. And I guess on a 5 scale, whatever.
Right.
So I'm like, she's concerned about it. She's like, listen, we've got the person that comes in and does the ultrasound and the EKGs or ECGs or whatever on Tuesday, which is today. Do you want to make an appointment? I was like, hell yeah. You know, I'd give an arm up for my dog. Let's take care of this. So they leave me a message, say, come in on Tuesday when you get off of work. So I get off work at 9:30 in the morning, and I drive home, pick Bosco up, take her to the vet. And they're like, well, just leave her here, and we'll call you when we're done, because the vet doesn't come in until, the special vet doesn't come in until like 10:30. I'm like, all right, well, here's the deal. I'm going to sleep right now. So as soon as they're done, call me. And if I don't answer the first time, just keep calling me, because I'm literally going to sleep right now. It's 10 in the morning. I'm going to
right,
bed.
Right.
She looked at me like I was crazy. But like I'm like, but as soon as they're done, call me. She's like, all right. So I go home with the other dog, go to sleep. And I wake up. It's 4:30. I'm like, oh, no. You know, like this thing was supposed to be over at like 11:30 or noon.
Right, right.
It's 4:30. I'm like, oh, I slept through it. My poor beagle's at the vet all this time. I look at my phone, no missed calls. And I'm like, what the hell? It's fourth, you know, that's weird. So I call up the vet. I'm like, hey, it's Mark Arum. I just woke up. I'm just checking on Bosco. Can I come pick her up? And the receptionist is like, hold on a second. Puts me on hold for like 3 minutes. She comes back. She's like, yeah, you can come in. The vet needs to talk to you. So I'm like thinking the absolute worst.
Yeah, yeah.
That holy smokes,
yeah,
what the hell happened? The receptionist wasn't like, oh, Bosco's ready, it's all good, come pick her up. It was like, yeah, come in now, the vet needs to talk to you. So I'm like, oh my God, what the hell is going, like, that's, yeah. And granted, I'm just waking up, so I'm not fully coherent, and but that was a horrible way to tell me to come get my dog.
Yeah, yeah.
So the vet is literally a mile from my house, and I'm stuck in traffic because it's 4:30 p.m. and everyone's trying to get home, and there's wildfires, and Erickson's talking about, you know, I'm not used to being out of the house at 4:30 p.m. It was it was like I was on Mars. I didn't know what was going on. So 1 mile drive to the vet takes like 20 minutes, and I'm like freaking out. What happened to my dog? I pull in, I go to the front register, and I'm like, hey, I'm here to pick up Bosco. She's like, all right, have a seat, we'll be right with you. So I'm like biting my nails, I'm worried, and then the receptionist comes back, she's like, go down to room 4, it's the last room on the right, and the doctor will meet you in there. Again, no word on the condition of my dog.
Did you not ask?
No, I don't want to know, honestly.
Okay.
You know? Yeah, obviously, this chick isn't going to tell me.
Right.
Because she's like, all she keeps saying, you got to talk to the vet. You got to talk. So I go into waiting room number 4, empty room. I've never been in this room, by the way. I've been going to this vet for years. This is the last room in the hall. I'm like, this is the freaking death room.
I was just going to say, that's the.
I walk in, there's a painting of a dog on the wall that's like with its head down, like eyes closed. Dead dog on the wall. And I'm like, I can't believe this. My Bosco's dead. This is the love of my life. I would give anything for this dog. Vet comes in. She's like, hey, Mark, how are you doing? And I'm like, almost in tears. I'm like, I don't know. How am I doing? She's like, well, the vet that came in did the ultrasound and the EKG. And what we found was, and I'm like, literally like, is my freaking dog alive right now? And she's like, well, she's telling me, you know, there's one flap of the heart here, and she's got,
getting technical.
Technical, and she's like, sometimes the blood, and I'm like, cut to the freaking chase, what's going on? And she's like, well, you know, we don't need to do surgery now. I'm like, finally, any hint that my dog is still alive.
Yeah.
She's like, we don't have to do surgery now, but we'll keep an eye on it. And I'm like, I was like, just relieved, like, for 45 minutes torture, thinking my poor dog is dead.
Yeah, that was a poor way of telling
you. So that's not a me problem, right? That's horrible bedside manner.
Yeah.
That's terrible, because Cougar had the exact same thing.
Well, that's what I'm thinking of.
The same thing, and I went through
the
same.
I called you.
You should have.
Because poor Chuck lost his dog not too long ago, and you loved that dog.
Oh.
And I wanted to call you and be like, all right, what's the situation? Do I bury the dog? Do I take the dog home? But I knew you were working, so I didn't want to bother you.
That's you never fine. You can bother me with calls like that. That's no big deal.
He's like a girl that doesn't want it. Not interested in you. I text him. I don't hear back from him for 3 days.
It's a dog thing. I'm on it.
Who's
it's
this?
A people thing. I'm like, I don't care.
So, normally it's a me problem, but that's not how you handle stuff, right?
No, they should have kind of. Yeah, they should have said right away.
Well, first of all, they should have called me when it was done, because I said, call me.
Yeah.
And they didn't call. So then I freaked out. And the girl on the phone doesn't say, oh, your Bosco's ready. All set. Come on in.
Yeah.
Come in. The doctor needs to talk to you.
Yeah, that's kind of weird. They didn't handle that right.
Emotional roller coaster.
Oh, I bet.
No, I mean, listen, Cougar had the same. He had a heart murmur. He ended up having to have open heart surgery when he was 3.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he had a stent put in because he was young enough.
Okay.
And they said there's 2 ways to do it. You can do open heart, or they have a little curly Q plug they can do now for older dogs, which may be something that's better for yours. But anyway, they did the same thing to me. My vet was listening and then just kind of stopped and got that look on his face. And I was like, what? And he goes, oh, nothing. I'll be right back.
Ugh.
And I was like, no, how about you just come back here and tell me what's going on? I just knew. And then he kept listening, and he brought another nurse
in. But you're seeing the alive dog in front of you.
At least I was seeing the alive dog, but it was still very concerning. Like, would you just tell me what's going on and not be all weird and secretive?
Is that why they're veterinarians and not regular doctors?
Because of their terrible bedside
manner? No, because I've had vets that were, like, just exceptionally good bedside manner. Yeah, I mean, I've had vets that have gotten on the floor and
sure.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, and I've been going to this place for years. They're wonderful. This is the only bad experience I've ever had with them. But something broke down in the chain of communication.
Maybe it was a new receptionist.
Did you tell him anything? I would have said something.
That was kind of a bad way of telling.
It was such
an emotional roller coaster.
You're so relieved at that point.
Exactly. I don't care. And they're like, it'll be $19,000. Like, here, fine. Here's my credit card. Just my dog's alive right now. It was crazy. But Bosco's got a lump on her side.
Yeah, I remember she had a little fatty
You
tumor.
Saw that.
Yeah,
so
a little fatty tumor.
It showed up like a year ago, like out of the blue.
Yeah.
Like one day it was here. And I was like, well, I got to take this day. So I go in and take it in. And the vet's like, ah, it's a fatty mass. You're fine. How, when did this start happening? I'm like, yesterday? She's like, no. That had to have been growing for months. I'm like, no. This was yesterday. This happened. Anyway, so now they want to go in and take that out because it's impacting something. So I do have to. She does have to have surgery. The heart murmur is just something you got to monitor. But I was. We were this close to me not coming to work tonight.
Yeah, that's rough.
If my dog was dead, there's
I
no
didn't
way.
Come to work. Yeah. I didn't come to work for like two, 3 days.
Exactly. So just for the record, and I'm telling you the story. I don't know their perspective. You know, they might not. But on my side of the aisle, that's not a me problem, right?
No, that's on them. They should have handled that a little bit better than that.
If I was wide awake, if I called them now, I would. And she said, "Oh, the doctor needs to come. You need to come in and see the doctor." I would have said if I was fully awake. What do you mean? Is my dog okay?
Yeah.
But I just woken up and I was like, and I didn't want, if my dog was dead, I didn't want to hear it right then.
Yeah, that's you know? It. Yeah. You wouldn't be able to process it.
Yeah.
That would have been hard.
So, but besides that, I'm in a great mood.
Well, yeah, you are now because your dog's fine.
Is that what it is?
I'm just relieved.
Yeah.
They put me in the death room.
That's what it
room
is. You know
four.
That's,
the
you
death
know
that's
room.
Room
four.
Yeah, because the other rooms, they've got a bowl of treats and little whatever.
There's nothing. If you just walk in and there's nothing but a waste paper basket
Correct.
And a bunch of tissues, you know that's the death room. There's no treats.
Painting of a dead dog. No treats. Nothing. I was like, there.
Kleenex, that's it.
Exactly. They put me in the dead dog room.
Oh, man.
I was freaking out. I
would have been.
Yeah, it was not a pleasant way to start off my morning. But that's,
no.
There we go. All right. So I'm not.
It's not you.
You would have been equally upset.
Oh,
as
Lord,
I
yeah.
Longoria?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely, yeah.
If you drop your daughter off at the pediatrician, they don't
you
call
need to
you
come
to
back and talk to the
yeah,
doctor.
Yeah, they don't call you to come pick her up. And you got to
well,
call
we're
up.
Not dropping her off. We're in the room with
Can
her.
Can I pick up Lily? You need to come see
yeah,
the doctor.
Yeah, you need to come see us.
All right. Anywho, your thoughts on that before we get into the hard-hitting stuff. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. On Twitter, at Mark Arum. This is The Mark Arum Show.
Mark Arum on 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.
Welcome back to the show, 10:25, 60 degrees on Pete Street. Mark Arum with you till midnight. Double dose of Johnny Kielbasa tonight, by the way. Football Minute and a fast review coming up in about an hour. To the phones we go. Peggy's in Atlanta. Peggy, welcome to the program.
Hey
Peg.
Mark, I related very well to your story about your dog. And I just had to tell you that real doctors, MDs and veterinarians are very much alike. They call you up in the middle of the night and tell you to come to the hospital. I had a son at 25 years old. He was in the hospital. And he had a congenital heart defect and had not been well, mm-hmm. you know, most of his life, but he functioned. But my husband answered the phone. I was supposed to be on call for the hospital. I was a nurse, and I had left my son not feeling real well that night, and I called the hospital and said, don't call me in. I'm not going to be on call. I'm taking myself off call. So
wait, was your son at the same hospital that you worked at?
No,
okay.
He wasn't.
Gotcha.
At the hospital I worked at was, you know, totally different. He was at Northside.
Continue.
And so my husband answered the phone, and I said, he called me, and I said, I told them not to call me. I'm not. He said, it's not that hospital. And my heart shrunk. You know, my heart just fell. And, you know, you just know when you get that kind of call.
Now, when they called your husband, did they say that your son was okay, or did they just
they
said, get...
didn't. They no, they didn't. They didn't say one way or the other. They said, you need to come to the hospital. Well, don't you know? you know, you just know. But your heart is crying the whole way there. God, don't let it be that. Don't let it be that. But why would they call me in?
Yeah. So we're running. We got a break for the news. What was happening?
Same thing. He was gone.
He was gone?
He was gone. We got to adding Dan. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But, and they did, just like the dog. We needed to come.
Sorry, Peggy. How long ago was this?
It's been a long time. It was in 92.
Oh, man. I'm so sorry. Yeah. There needs to be like a script that are given to people that, you know.
Like they do with 911 operators.
Yes.
They
what's the location? Yes.
Help work
what
off
to
of.
Say and what not to say.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Peggy.
That's awful.
That is awful. All right, we're going to come back. I'll finish up on these calls. I do want to talk about the arson investigation in Floyd County, which was a big story this afternoon on your drive home. We'll come back. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. This is The Mark Arum Show.
I'm WSB's Mark Arum.
The WSB 24-hour breaking news center is on alert.
With immediate breaking news,
severe weather alerts,
traffic red alerts,
from Cobb to Cherokee,
Carroll to Gwinnett,
Fulton to Forsyth,
and all the rest.
All the rest.
WSB.
WSB. Depend on it.
Hey, this is Ray Liotta, and you're listening to the
Welcome back to the show. 10:36, 24 in front of 11. Mark Arum at your beck and call till midnight, Monday through Friday, 10 to midnight on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. Excuse me, it's been an emotionally trying day for yours truly. We'll take a couple more calls on what happened to my dog, and then I want to get into the breaking news out of Floyd County. 404-872-0750 is the number, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Manville Johnson.
Ford loves the working man. Don't trust Whitey. See a doctor and get rid of it.
Welcome to the show, Manville. How you doing, brother?
What's going on?
It's been a weird day, but I'm amazingly in a good mood.
I didn't hear exactly what happened. What exactly happened? All I heard was dog and death, and I'm like, wait a minute, what's going on?
Well, I had an appointment for my dog has a heart murmur, and I dropped her off this morning at the vet a little before 10 a.m. And they're like, all right, it should be done around noon. I'm like, all right, well, call me when it's over, and I'll come pick her up. And I woke up at 4:30, and they hadn't called. So then I called them, and I was like, hey, it's Mark Arum coming to pick up Bosco. Is she ready? And the receptionist is like, you can come in now. The doctor needs to talk to you. So I thought that my dog had died, but turns out she's fine. But I was an emotional wreck.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So there you go. Now you're caught up to date in Manville.
Yeah, I can understand that. I mean, I've had a situation where I'm not with a dog, but with a family member.
Yeah.
And it was kind of confusing because the doctor came in thinking it was one person, and it wasn't that person that was having the issue as far as my family member. And then we was all in a wreck, and then he come back like an hour and a half later saying, oh, I'm sorry, that was the wrong thing.
Oh, no, really?
Yeah.
Jeez Louise. That's
well, at least they weren't already in surgery. Oh, yeah, by the way, we forgot.
Again, I don't mean to lessen, because Manville is the second call in a row that had this something happened with like a person. So I don't mean to lessen your grief over that. But I was a mess. You wouldn't have seen me for a week, I bet.
Oh, I'm sure.
I bet when Bosco's gone, I'm gone for a week, man. I'm not going to be able to handle that. I'm going to start bringing her in the show every night now.
I don't know why you don't.
Yeah.
I was going to bring Ryder in.
Well, because I have to bring both dogs in then. And that will be like Bosco will sit here and just chill out because she's fat and lazy like her dad. But Deuce is full of energy and he's going to want to run around this whole place. So
just let him roam.
But that'll be up to your responsibility then to deal with it. Can you handle that?
Yeah.
All right, good.
Just lock them in the room.
All right. Such a humanitarian. All right, so I want to get to this the breaking story that we heard live here on WSB Radio this afternoon. Huge brush fire up in Floyd County off of Highway 27, which is not too far from Rome. And apparently it was set by an arsonist. Did you hear the description?
Yes, yeah, we were talking about that.
We joked about it.
Until it said red pickup, I thought it was Chuck. The like bearded guy, ruddy face. I don't know what that means, ruddy face.
Well, that's what we were saying.
Yeah. Me and Eric and him were all talking.
Look it up. Yeah.
What did it mean?
Reddish?
Yeah, but see, I asked Griffiths, I was like, hey, why didn't you just say reddish face? Like, why did you have to use fancy words? She was like, well, it means more than that. And the best description I can come up is like Edward James Olmos. Like his face, you know how it's like he had acne.
Pockmarked, though.
Like he had acne and stuff. Yeah. Like that's what.
When I think ruddish face, I mean that. I always think alcoholic. Like alcoholics have those red, ruddish faces.
Real rough.
Yeah.
Looks a little pitted.
Yeah. So, but until they said old red pickup, I was like, oh, Chuck's all right now.
Yeah. I'm too lazy to start fire.
Can I play some audio here, Longo?
Sure.
This is Jason Durden in News Chopper 2 up over the scene earlier today.
So it looks like they've got a better handle on these two fires that are at the northern end of where they all started burning, but on the southern end, still a lot of smoke and a lot of flame back in those woods.
More from my buddy Jason Durden in News Chopper 2.
Authorities have been putting water on some of the areas adjacent to Highway 27 just to keep it from spreading out closer to the highway. We are getting reports that up to three houses have suffered some sort of damage as a result of these fires. The extent of that damage is not known right now.
Only one person was injured, no one killed. According to Nefertiti Nef, it took 50 firefighters 7 hours to contain this blaze. As of 7 p.m., 90% containment. But, well, we're in a drought, so this happens. We have brush fires. I remember the first time I went up in the chopper in the fall, and you're high, you know, you're 1,500 feet up above the ground, and you look around, and there's these billows of smoke all over the metro. It was people burning leaves.
Yeah.
And the first time I filled in for Captain Herb in the chopper, I'm like, fire, go to the fire. And the pilot's like, no, idiot, it's someone burning.
Yeah.
But if you go up, you see all over Metro Atlanta.
I mean, they do that a lot here in Texas. We don't burn our own leaves. I mean, I'm sure back in the day we did, but I was like, when we moved here, I was like, what's going on? Why are these people
in Texas,
starting fires?
They eat their leaves. They don't burn them.
At home, you can burn them. You have to burn permit. It's only for like 4
but
months.
But it's in the fall months when you, from the chopper, there's these little leaves fires everywhere.
So
we're used to brush fires with a drought condition like this. What I don't get, and this is what I want to talk about. I don't understand the motive why someone would do arson. There are a lot of crimes where I won't condone them, but I get what they're trying to accomplish. Someone carjacks you, they want a car. I understand that. You know, they rob you, they want money. They break into your house, they want stuff. They buy drugs, they want it. There are crimes that you know, I don't condone, but I understand the motive there. I don't understand what's the benefit of, unless you're burning down your own house for the insurance money, this guy's just setting fires in the woods. What is the motive of that?
Destruction? Maybe?
Yeah,
I mean,
some people just really like it. Yeah.
But that's just weird. Freaking sick.
Yeah.
It's probably the same kid that was lighting bugs on fire.
No, this guy's like 40. Oh, yeah. Well, when he was a kid, you're saying.
Yeah.
So it's a crime that literally makes no sense. There crimes, murder, someone wronged you. I'm not saying it's good, but it's like, oh, that guy was sleeping with his wife, so he killed him. All right, I understand. Again, not condoning, but I understand what happened. But with arson, does he hate nature? What was like? Those freaking woods over there, they're looking at me funny. What is the, I don't understand what's going on in an arsonist mind. Which leads me to believe that someone that is in arson is mentally challenged in some way. Someone that,
well, anybody that does anything like that is probably, I would say, you know, not all there.
No, if you're a poor person and you shoplift to feed yourself, that's a crime. But I wouldn't say that person's mental issues. Someone that carjacks someone, they might be an idiot, but it's an understandable crime. If that makes any sense.
No, yeah, no, I got you.
I'm not saying going on crime sprees here, folks. I'm not telling you
to go out and said so.
Carjack anybody. But you can understand the thought process. I have no clue the thought process of an arsonist.
Most serial arsonists, they're on the spectrum. That's a loose term in psychology where you fit on the spectrum of diagnosable disorders. Most arsonists and serial arsonists.
So it's a mental thing. It has to be.
Oh, yeah, yeah, 100%. They just, it falls in different categories. But they're always, when they're caught and sat down, there's always a mental illness aspect to it.
But what do they get out of it? Is it a satisfaction of, is it something for attention? Like, does this guy,
no,
the ruddy-faced 44-year-old in the red pickup truck, did he go home and turn on the news and be like, I set those,
Maybe, probably.
One of the studies I read, it's on the same adrenaline level. It's an adrenaline thrill, like people who are cutters, who will cut themselves. The adrenaline rush that they'll get from it.
Yeah.
It's on that same level. It's on that same level. There's an adrenaline rush to doing that. Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they're always on the spectrum. There's always a mental illness. Usually there's always
my theory that arsonists are mentally ill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Holds water.
Yeah. You just don't know to what level, you know.
Yeah.
They all know that what they're doing is wrong. I mean, most people who engage in that kind
so
of
it's a, but it's
know.
An adrenaline thing.
Yeah,
then.
It is. It's just, a destruction and a power thing.
I can't wrap my mind. There's a lot of crimes that I can understand.
Because it's just pure
robbing a bank. All right, I get it. You don't want to work.
Yeah.
You want $500,000 for 4 minutes of work. I totally understand that. I wouldn't do it myself. But that's a crime where it's like, oh, the guy wanted money. Okay. What does the arsonist get from burning down wood? And what is even a house? Like, this guy didn't say, oh, I hate that son of a bitch Longoria. I'm going to burn his house down. This guy's like, I'm just going to light the woods on fire.
Hope he gets his house.
I hate those damn squirrels. Like, what? I still.
Maybe he just doesn't like trees.
Yeah, maybe he's the opposite of a tree hugger.
He's an anti-arborist.
Yeah, there you go.
He's an anti-arborist arsonist.
Don't give him any ideas. He might be listening.
I don't know. If there are any arsonists out there, I'd love to hear from you. 404
contact info
872-0750 1-800-WSB-TALK. In all seriousness, if anyone knows anything about, you know, have you ever known anyone that liked to set stuff on fire?
Yeah.
Yeah? Really? Yeah. Relative? Yeah.
No, a friend of mine in junior high, and he got serious trouble. He got sent to juvie because he lit a grain elevator on fire.
Those are like a silo? Is that what that looks like?
Yeah,
that's what they called it. Grain elevator?
Yeah, it was a.
Can be deadly. Those things.
Yeah. It was a big deal. He
did his dad die in the grain elevator, and that's why he burned it down?
He did not. No, he just.
So there's. I'm looking for a motive.
No, there is.
He
none.
Hates he grain.
Just, it was just a thrill to watch something engulf in flames and to have that kind of like I can destroy something that vast and large.
I never even thought about that aspect. The thrill of seeing destruction at your own hands.
Yeah,
gives you a powerful.
Yeah, it's a power trip.
He probably did go home an and watch the news and was like, "Yeah, that was all me."
So this ruddy-faced guy in Floyd County is sitting at home right now, listening to the Mark Arum show, going, "Ha ha, they're talking about me."
Yeah,
my name is Frank.
Frank, call us.
Yeah, Frank, if you're listening, go listen to the show in your red pickup
turn
truck.
In.
And no, you don't have to turn yourself. I just want to know what you were thinking. What the hell were you thinking, setting that fire? All right, just looking for any insight on arsonists. I just don't understand it. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Again, we're talking about the breaking news in Floyd County this afternoon, not too far from Rome. Dude set multiple fires, an arsonist set multiple fires, took 50 firefighters 7 hours to knock them down in the drought conditions up in Floyd County. Just trying to wrap my mind around why an arsonist would light stuff on fire. That's it. 404-872-0750 on Twitter at Mark Arum. This is The Mark Arum Show.
win some, but you just...
Mark Arum on 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.
10:52, 8 in front of 11. Mark Arum with you till 12. 404-872-0750. 1-800-WSB-TALK. Discussing the breaking news out of Floyd County this afternoon. The arsonist attack along Highway 27. David joins us in Tucker. David, welcome to the program, sir.
Hey, well, you know how when you discover a fire, you kind of get all excited? But you get excited in a negative way?
Mm-hmm.
These are people who get excited in a positive way. I actually knew a woman who was just fine on a day-to-day basis, but if she drank alcohol, which lessens her inhibitions, she just started to randomly start setting fire to objects.
What? Really?
Exactly. So it's like...
Now, I like fire. I enjoy a fireplace, and a bonfire is always fun, and making s'mores and whatever, but... it would never even occur to me to just start lighting stuff on fire. Did you talk to her and say why, when you drink, do you light stuff on fire?
No, she didn't know why. She just knew she did it.
Hmm.
You know, we're talking about, you know, I mean, kind of dangerous situations. You know, I mean, you just don't go around setting fires in your...
And how long have you been married to her, David?
No, I have dubious questions. Judgment of women. That one was a pass.
Yeah, no, I that's a smart thing. A smart thing to do on that.
Yeah.
You don't want to wake up with all your clothes on fire.
No.
Because she had one too many wine coolers. That would not be...
No, not a good thing. Also not a good thing to have hard liquor around there for two reasons in that case.
Yeah.
I think these are... You like controlled fire. These are people who like the... I think they like, in some ways, the aspect of uncontrolled fire.
Well, again, I think that goes back to that being something wrong in the noggin. I've covered too many apartment fires and house fires. They're bad news, man. They're bad news. Doug's in Athens. Doug, welcome to the Mark Arum Show.
Hey, how's it going?
What's going on, Dougie?
Well, I got two things here. I think that everybody, you got all sorts of people that are on the extreme of whatever it is you want to look at, whether it's sexual stuff or violence or whatever it is. You've always got some people that are just a little bit off, as you've said.
Yeah.
And then I don't know. I mean, I remember when I was in high school, I had a buddy that worked at Eckerd and
the drugstore.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And I'd pick him up sometimes when the store was closing. And occasionally he'd tell me, all right, go find five things in the store. And I'd go pick out five things. And we'd go up to the roof just to throw them off the top of Eckerd.
Now, I've done that.
Yeah, I mean,
now, that's totally sane, throwing stuff off a roof.
You enjoy the chaos a little bit. I think that's what's going on with these people.
So I went to school. One of the dorms was a dorm called Champagne. Don't even ask me how to spell it. But it was like eight stories high. And everyone on the campus, you had to walk past it to go to the cafeteria. And my buddy had a room on the sixth floor. And daily, we would throw stuff at people from the sixth floor. I mean, talk about dumb college kids. I remember throwing clam chowder on people underneath.
You were maliciously throwing stuff at people,
yes,
rather than just
absolutely
starting a fire in the
middle
of nowhere.
Better, what was even better was, because, you know, it's just, I don't know, again, I was young and dumb, but you'd see a buddy walking through the quad from the sixth floor window, and you'd be like, hey, Timmy! And Timmy's walking, there's a bunch of people around, Timmy's like, oh, you know, someone knows me, you know, and then you'd yell out, how's that rash on your balls? That was more entertaining than throwing stuff at people. But, dumb stuff. My buddy Rocky threw a whole bed, the frame, out the window, sixth floor.
There's something entertaining about it.
But that's normal. That's
normal. That's perfectly normal.
All right. Point taken, Doug. Point taken. We never lit anything on fire, as far as I know. Jonathan's in Ackworth. Jonathan, welcome to the show, buddy.
Hey, how's it going?
Excellent. What's going on?
I just want to let you guys know, I hear everybody talking about people who have mental problems and stuff like that. I used to teach middle school about 10, 12 years ago, and I actually had a student who was really, really smart and just liked to make up stuff. He actually, not a joke, he actually took a and I don't want to tell people how to do this, but he took a leaf blower and duct taped a mop on it and dunked the end of the mop in gasoline, lit it on fire to try to make a flamethrower.
That's insane. That's
yeah. Hey, here's the bad thing, though. It was during the summer, and his dad was at work, and he actually burned down the entire back deck on his house.
I give him points for creativity, but that's crazy. Trying to make a flamethrower out of a leaf blower and a mop. We're going to come back. More of your calls on the arson story out of Floyd County tonight. 404-872-0750. 1-800-WSB-TALK. This is The Mark Arum Show.